Now, as we do on Mondays, we dive into the state capitol report. Some roadmap here, your thoughts on our state's new election maps, how we got here with redistricting, the GOP ordered Gableman probe into the 2020 election, and we begin with the new Marquette University Law School poll. We're a little over 3 months out from the August primary election. We check polling on the U.S. Senate, gubernatorial primaries. Join in your thoughts. State Cap 800-642-1234. Conversation on state politics 800-642-1234. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief. Sean, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate.
Hi. Well, let's start with the Marquette University Law School poll. What are some of your top line takeaways from the polling?
I guess one of the things you notice that you have to kind of deliver with a big grain of salt is that the Democratic primary for U.S. Senate is tightening, at least among the people who have expressed a preference for the candidates. So you have in that race, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, a Milwaukee Bucks executive, Alex Lazary, State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski, and Outagamie County Executive Tom Nelson are running. We know that in the last Marquette poll, Mandela Barnes was kind of alone at the top of that group with 23% saying they'd support him. Alex Lazary was next with 13%. In this latest poll, you saw Lazary's numbers go up just a little bit to 16%. Mandela Barnes down just a little bit to 19%. So tightening. That said, 48% of voters don't know who they're going to vote for.
I was going to say, does it seem early for voters to feel feelings about candidates in any race?
It's good to track, right? So you see a little movement here, and we know that Alex Lazary has been aggressively advertising in this race. Mandela Barnes has not yet. And so this could be some of those effects that you're seeing in this survey. But it's definitely early, according to, you know, this poll, because when you have half of Democratic primary voters saying they just don't know, they're not keyed in on that race yet.
The poll also found some pessimism of voters that is growing. I found it really interesting, too, that, you know, only 36% think the state is headed in the right direction. But it also the polling said that voters were quite positive about Governor Evers' handling of COVID. Those 60% approved. So what do you make of the juxtaposition?
I think that's going to be that's a real and outstanding question that we're going to be looking at potentially for the rest of this year, because you've now had three polls in a row where I think last October, Charles Franklin, the pollster, described the electorate as grumpy. It was his summary of, you know, people who said that the state's on the right track versus the wrong direction. And since then, those numbers have gotten worse in two polls. So, it kind of presents a challenge if you're an incumbent, right? And for Evers particularly, he's a Democratic incumbent running in a year that could be a Republican year historically based on, you know, Democrats controlling everything in Washington. That's usually bad for the party in control in a midterm election. So here you have a negative attitude among voters, and yet Tony Evers is kind of holding steady in terms of his job approval rating, which is 49% in this latest survey. It was 50% the month before. And, you know, those might not be sky high compared to governors in other states. But if you look at him for Wisconsin governor, compared to like approval ratings for Scott Walker, for example, those are good. And so the question is, can he hold on to that in an electorate where people don't feel like things are, you know, going great?
Let's turn now to the polling around the Gableman investigation. Poll asked voters whether they approve or disapprove of how former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman is handling the review of the 2020 presidential election. We saw Speaker Robin Voss announcing the review would continue. How do people feel about it?
This is another one where the, you know, the biggest answer far and away is they don't know. You know, in the latest poll, there was 57% hadn't heard enough. If you look at the people who have heard about it, 13% approve, 27% disapprove. So as much as we talk about it in the news, it is not something that is like front and center for most Wisconsin voters who were surveyed in this poll. I think it's significant, though, in the poll, if you look at enthusiasm to vote, and especially among Republicans, if you look at Republican voters who were very confident in the results of the 2020 election, they are the least enthusiastic group of voters in this year's election. If you look at the voters who were not at all confident in the 2020 election, they are the most enthusiastic about voting in the 2022 election. So one thing politically that Gableman's investigation does for Republicans is, speak to that base of voters who, you know, likes Donald Trump very likely and is continuing to cast doubt on the 2020 election, which Joe Biden won by roughly 21,000 votes and has survived, repeated scrutiny through audits, court decisions, canvasses.
Let's pause here with WPR's Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson, our guide to Wisconsin politics, reflecting on what the legislature will look like as the new maps essentially lock in overwhelmingly Republican majorities in the Assembly and Senate for the next decade. We'll go there as well. Join in 800-642-1234. There's more State Cap ahead with Sean Johnson here in the Ideas Network. Now we discuss Wisconsin government and politics on the State Capitol Report. In the aftermath of the redistricting process, eyes are on the new maps for the legislature and whether a veto-proof supermajority is within grasp of state Republicans, what it means for the midterms. Join in with your take on state politics, 800-642-1234. Conversation right here, 800-642-1234 to join in. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capital Bureau Chief here with us for the hour. So Sean, taking stock of people who have stepped back, that we heard last week, Republican State Senator Dale Coinga of Brookfield announced that he would not seek re-election this year, joining more than two dozen other lawmakers. How does this compare with other election cycles?
So it's really high, and yet it is something that we have experienced relatively recently. I think it's tying the number that we had in 2014 of retirements. So that said, this year and 2014 were among the highest retirement years going back to World War II, when the record was set back in that era. So it is a very high number of retirements. And if you think about it in terms of coupling this year with 2014 and all the other years in between, you're losing a lot of the sort of institutional knowledge in the legislature of some of the things that happened in 2011. Act 10, the major protests, everything that happened then. A lot of the people that experienced that are leaving. So it is a big collective change when you look over the last few years in terms of turnover here. And then specifically with this cycle, that is a lot of people who are leaving.
As we look at the new cycle and think about the maps for the legislature seem to be all set for this fall's election, although the court challenges could continue. Where does the redistricting battle go from here in Wisconsin?
Right now, it sets Republicans up with an extremely favorable map for 2022, based on analysis by Marquette University's John Johnson that looked at election results from the past two presidential elections and the 2018 governor's race, all very close races, kind of snapshots of what we think of Wisconsin being this purple state. His analysis used those numbers and applied them to these new districts and found that in a 50-50 election, Republicans would be expected to win 63 assembly seats, 23 Senate seats. So in a 50-50 election, they'd have a supermajority in the Senate, and they would be within striking distance of a supermajority in the Assembly. Wouldn't be easy there, but they're close. And what does a supermajority mean? It means that even if you have a governor of the other party for Republicans, so let's say, for example, Governor Tony Evers prevailed this year, a supermajority would give them the power to override a governor's vetoes. So it's definitely not a given, because there are some districts that would be like just on the very edges there would that would be tough for them to win. But within striking distance, I think, is a very accurate way to put it, because they are close to that two-thirds margin.
I'd like your assessment of how Republicans are viewing Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. I mean, we've heard his critics. They were at a rally on Saturday at the Capitol. Does Voss have his caucus in lockstep?
He has, you know, Robin Voss definitely has made some enemies within his own caucus over the years. And they are outspoken. You know, you heard some of them. Janelle Branchen is certainly at odds with the speaker very often, and she was at that rally over the weekend. So there are people who he has, you know, fought with over the years. That said, I don't think there's ever been, to my knowledge, a real credible challenge to his speakership. You know, he has the majority of the caucus or Assembly Republican caucus behind him, which in an election for speaker, that's what matters. You know, he needs the support of those Republican members, many of whom he has recruited and fundraised for and, you know, arranged campaigns for, basically had people go out and knock on doors for them when it's in their district. So he's very involved in that aspect of, you know, governing. Does not translate to high approval ratings among the general public. I mean, I think his numbers in the Marquette poll were pretty dismal. But in terms of that group of lawmakers that he's in charge of, he has the majority of their support.
Well, it's interesting as you see the lawmaker stepping back. I mean, he has been holding his seat for, I think, 17 years. So you see that institutional aspect of that, of staying in power versus all of these other lawmakers stepping back as well. So it's interesting to watch there. Let's pause with Sean Johnson, WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief, as we discuss this moment in Wisconsin politics. What's on your mind? Still time, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up with Sean ahead. News update is next on the Ideas Network. Now we dive into more conversation about Wisconsin politics on the State Capitol Report, and you can join in on future legislation you hope gets across the finish line, 800-642-1234. Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson stays with us. Let's take a call now. Jeff joining us from Delafield. Jeff, hi, what's on your mind?
Yes, good morning. Back to the idea of the number of retirements in state government. I wonder how much of that is driven by just the extreme hyper-polarization of both parties and representatives that, you know, just they maybe feel differently than where the bulk of their party has gone, either party, and they're just, and their voice is not heard, so they just give up. I know it. I think a lot of us voters feel that, is we don't feel like we have a home in either party because our views aren't as extreme as what we see on either side of the aisle, and it kind of leaves us in limbo land. And I wonder how many representatives feel that way and if that's what's driving their retirements.
Jeff, thanks. Sean, is there something to this?
Yeah, I think it's anecdotal a little bit. We have to, you know, answer this with, but you do hear some lawmakers talk about just hard for them to reach a certain segment of their constituents, especially right now among Republicans, when a very vocal portion of the base wants to talk about the 2020 election. You have heard some lawmakers like Jim Steinke, the outgoing majority leader, say, you know, he tries to talk to these constituents and it often doesn't go well. If you just look at the legislature as a body, you know, this is already a very Republican legislature, and it hasn't really been in doubt over the last decade because of the map. The map gets more Republican over the next decade. And so you're going to have a legislature that is not in any danger of flipping. And so the agenda isn't going to get more like in the middle. You know, it's not going to really be shooting for that independent voter necessarily. It's going to be going for that Republican voter. On the Democratic side, not only do they not have a voice over there, really, they can't affect the policy, but Democrats, because they've been more condensed, those seats become more Democratic. You know, they're not really going for the independent voters either. And that's the that is the legislature now. If you'd like to go have a job in that legislature, you know, there's a better chance probably now that you're going to want to partake in some of those partisan fights. And that's not for everybody.
Jeff, thank you for that. Matt now in Madison. Matt, hi. Go ahead.
Hi, Kate and Sean. How are you guys today? I'm kind of curious, as we watch democracy die in front of us, why we aren't doing more about it. I mean, when you've got a party controlling every facet of government that can't win a statewide election, this is no longer a democracy, in my opinion. I just don't know where the concern is. Are we just supposed to, as left-leaners, just sit back and say, oh, you know, that stinks. You know, we don't have any power for another 10 years. What are our options here? Because what I'm seeing is a tilt towards fascism, in my opinion. I mean, we've got single party rule that is not the majority. And I don't know how else you describe that other than fascism.
Matt, thank you. Sean, what are your observations there?
So I don't want to like downplay, concerns with American democracy for sure. But I guess it's my inclination is to say, look at these other things, right? Like, on the other hand, we do have Democrats. If you're a Democrat, they are in control of all the statewide offices right now and a U.S. Senate office. And so we do have some of that parity in state government. And, you know, if you lived in another state right now, Illinois, for example, they have, a Democratic gerrymander there, where if you're a Republican voter, you might feel the same way. I think part of the problem, I guess, the underlying problem that Matt's getting at there is just the way that we do redistricting in the United States. And it inevitably, if you have single party control of that process, it leaves the other party feeling powerless in the states where that happens. And that is what happened in Wisconsin, and it is happening in some other states too this cycle. But it's been especially pronounced in Wisconsin, just given how purple we are, or how 50-50 we are, let's say, in statewide elections.
I'm reminded of a conversation I had with outgoing State Senator Janet Buley, who really feels like lawmakers are approaching a lot of legislation and a lot of issues like an all or nothing. And she said she's found less and less give where you make incremental changes, where you actually evolve on issues or just take smaller steps, that it's all or nothing. And I'm wondering, have you seen that, Sean, as you look at the approach lawmakers take on legislation?
I think especially right now, you have kind of an all or nothing because just the dynamic in state government right now. You mm-hmm. have Republican control, a Democratic governor. The prevailing idea among Republicans is that you know, Tony Evers being governor is going to be a one-term thing. And so they are going to, a lot of times, pass legislation to put him kind of on the hot seat and, maybe force him to veto. He had a record number of vetoes this session. And Evers has not been encouraged to, work with them more because of what he sees as an adversarial relationship with the legislature. You do, even in this atmosphere, though, you do occasionally see bipartisanship, whether they want to or not. You know, Governor Evers signed what was largely a Republican-authored budget this mm-hmm. last time. Mm-hmm. And he talks about this on the campaign trail. The Republicans are frustrated with him for taking credit for that. But you do, even in this very adversarial time, have at least some elements of bipartisanship just out of kind of political realities.
Sean Johnson with us, WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief, as we check in on the latest developments and the state of politics in Wisconsin. You can join in 800-642-1234. Sean, there was that hearing last month at the Capitol on a bill that would create a state-run medical marijuana program. And is that an issue? Do you see shifts legislatively here coming around to medical marijuana legalization? What's going on with that?
I think it would entirely depend upon whether this, you know, new group of legislators that we're going to get in Wisconsin because of all these retirements, whether their attitudes have changed. Mm. Because we know the public's attitude is behind medical marijuana. It polls extremely well in Wisconsin, 83% in the last poll from Marquette, which was back in 2019. So, you know, there just aren't many issues in Wisconsin that get those kinds of numbers that aren't already law. Mm-hmm. So the public's behind it. And the issue has been that you have concerns among Republican lawmakers behind approving medical marijuana. And so this hearing was for a bill that was already dead, basically. I mean, the session is over. Mm-hmm. This bill is not going anywhere, but you have Republican sponsors there who wanted to get the discussion started, basically, and have their colleagues think about whether or not they could support this issue and hear from people who do support it. Mary Felskowski is, one of the sponsors. Mm-hmm. And she talks about this issue in terms of her own battle with cancer. And if it had been an option for her, she would have taken it, because the concoction of prescription drugs that she was taking during this time kind of left her just feeling like she was living life in a haze. So, for her, this is about getting the discussion started.
Very personal.
But we don't know if Republicans are any closer right now to approving it than they have been. The Medical Society is also still against medical marijuana here in Wisconsin, and their position on an issue like this does carry weight.
The state Senate as well seems like this is a no-go there. So you have one whole side of the legislature not even willing to support the legislation.
And I guess, again, there, it would depend on whether you have new people or changing uh-huh. attitudes.
Gotcha.
What you do see from Senate Republicans is, I mean, they have the bill that they're advancing is fairly restrictive. Marijuana in their bill couldn't be smokable, for example. There's a variety of hurdles you'd have to jump just to be able to be part of this network mm-hmm. that would supply medical marijuana in this state. So it's not free for all by any means. And so they are looking for a way that would to pass a medical marijuana bill with Republican votes. Tony Evers has, been an outspoken supporter of the issue, has been a supporter of recreational marijuana. He put it in his last proposed state budget. Republicans took it out. Mm-hmm. That also has majority support among Wisconsin voters, but not as high as medical marijuana.
Well, can we land on our roads and the federal highway funding, the plan from the Department of Transportation? And we saw that passed then by the Budget Writing Committee. How will the DOT spend this additional federal highway funding?
It is largely going to be spread out among state highway rehabilitation, mm-hmm. Local transportation facilities, and local bridge improvements. And so, right at this point, you can't really point to specific projects that are going to get these, but those are the broad categories. You have smaller pots of funding within that would go toward like construction of bicycle trails and things like that. That's where you had almost unanimous support for this proposal in the legislature's budget committee, but the fights kind of break out over how specific the legislature's budget writing committee wants to get when it comes to, using this on bike trails. Mm-hmm. Small portion of the money, but this is where people end up fighting. But largely, Republicans, Democrats supported this, whether or not they like the idea that the federal government is sending all this money to the state. It's here. And so they approved the Department of Transportation's plan.
Sean, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Kate.
Sean Johnson is Capitol Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Public Radio, been covering the state capitol for WPR since 2004. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.